Church, could you just help me with a nice, honoring, loud welcome? Welcome up Pastor Jamie Jones as he comes to bring the word. Give it up for him. Yeah.
Hey, praise God. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Yes. Man, it's good to be here with you guys. I just want you to know, you have an incredible, incredible church right here. How many of you know that? You know that, all right? Incredible, man, incredible church, incredible people. Listen, any church that has free ice cream and a Christian biker gang, come on now, that it don't get any better than that. I mean, it's incredible. I'm taking notes for our church. I'm like, man, listen, next week, guys, ice cream and motorcycles. We have to have it. Just incredible. Just a great, great people. I want you to know something. You have at this church, your staff, your pastors, your leadership here, they are rock stars. In fact, they're better than rock stars because rock stars are worldly, amen, but these guys and girls are incredible. Would you just give it up for your leadership? Incredible people. Man. I've known Pastors Scott and Darla for a long time. I appreciate so much for them. If you're a guest with us today, just know I'm not the senior pastor. So if I say something that offends you, come back. Amen. It'll be better, I promise, you know, when you come back. But Pastor Peterman, incredible host they've been. I've got to meet a number of your guys here, youth pastor, Pastor Levi, and young adults, connections, pastors, incredible people. And I want you to know something. You see these people in the context of a local church service, and you honor them as your pastors, but somebody from the outside. I just want you to know that when we see that type and that level of leadership, we just have to honor that. You have some of the greatest leadership in the world right here in Sarasota. Incredible people. Absolutely. Well, we're glad to be with you today. I want to introduce a couple of very important people to you. One is really important. It's my honey. My baby doll. Come on, somebody. Right here, my wife, Michelle. Come on, baby. Just stand up. Wave at us. Yeah, that's her. Amen. And right beside her is my daughter, my son-in-law. Listen, they just got married a little over a year ago. Everybody say, aw. Yeah, I'm still mad at him, but I'm working through it. Amen, you know. But Kristen Armando, stand up. Come on, just wave at us right there. Amen. Love them. And then my youngest son got to travel with us this weekend. Joshua, come on, stand up. Wave at us, Joshua. Incredible young man of God right there. Yes. He's a man of few words, but he's mighty. You know what I'm saying? Just a mighty man of God. Amen. Well, today I'm excited to be with you and talk to you about a few things. I've got a message I want to share with you this morning, but I would just tell you this. Out in the foyer, you'll see a table. Our team is going to be out there to help. But I have written a book. Pastor Levi mentioned this a few moments ago. And it's called The Left-Handed Warrior. Everybody says, are you left-handed? No, it's not about me. I'm not left-handed. Here's the deal. I've been in the ministry for 25 years. I know that I don't look that old. Y'all cheer brother on. Come on. Hello. Yes. All right. So in my ministry, though, what I have really begun to realize is that God has a purpose and a calling for everybody. You know that today. You've got a calling on your life. Did you get out of bed this morning? Is there blood pumping through your veins? Amen. That means that God's not done with you, because when God calls your number and it's over, that means he's done. But until then, you have purpose and destiny that's written over your life. What I have seen, though, in my ministry is countless people who feel like, you know, God is working in them and called them to things. A lot of people say, man, I wish that I could do this, or if I could do anything, I would do this. But a lot of times there's a void between our dream and really attaching ourselves to that and getting there. And it's called the feeling. A lot of times it's insecurity. We feel insecure. We feel unable. How many of you know, we make excuses sometimes. If I had more money, if I was older, if I was younger, if I had the education. A lot of times we walk through that process of creating all of the reasons why we can't do things. But can I just tell you something today? God can do what you cannot do. The Left-Handed Warrior comes out of the book of Judges chapter 3. It's the story of the judges, and there's a man there by the name of Ehud. Little tiny chapter in Scripture. You probably have read over it and may not have ever picked up on it, but God uses him to do an impossible task. And the Bible points out the fact that he's left-handed. And I read that story. It just jumped out and grabbed me. I said, so what? Left-handed. Why does the author take great pain to tell us that this man is left-handed. What difference does it make? But I began to study the culture, and I realized in those days that all of the training from the standpoint of warriors and tactical training, it was done from the standpoint of the majority, which were right-handed people. And so when left-handed people would show up, they didn't know what to do with them. So they felt like, you're unqualified to be a warrior, but here's what we can get you to do instead. But in Judges chapter 3, God specifically chooses a left-handed man. And there's a reason for that. I outlined it all in my book. I don't have time to develop all that. But I want you to know, and the real theme is this, God can use anybody to do anything. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say God wants to use you. Amen. He wants to use you. And so we've got product out there. We've got the book. I've got a teaching series that accompanies that. It's a completely separate thing. It is not the content of the book. It's an audio series with a digital card. You can watch it on your, or listen to it on your computer, your phone, your iPad or whatever. Or we have the hard CDs that go along with that. We also have t-shirts and other things that are available. We're doing a special this week for pricing bundle. You can talk to them about all that. But the thing that I hear about this book is, man, that book is so easy to read. Well, you know, I wrote it for that purpose, to be easy. I want people to read it. I'm not smart enough to write anything difficult. You know what I'm saying? And it's written to help people. I'm so blessed. In the last 2 weeks, we were able to get our book in the Volusia County prison system. And now we have prisoners, inmates right now, who are reading that book. And I believe God's using that to help them overcome their insecurities, the issues, excuses of their life. So we're so thankful for that. We do cash, credit card, EBT. Come on, anybody, you know, whatever you got. Amen. We'll work it out. Praise God. So we'll be back there, and our guys will help you. I want to read to you this morning as we go to the Word today out of the 34th Psalm, beginning in verse number 1. Can you do me just a little favor? This is something we do at our house and at our church, and I want you, if we could just honor God's Word just for a moment. Would you stand, if you're able physically, just stand up as we read this Word together. Psalm 34, verse number 1, he says this, David writing, I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, somebody, say all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Come on, lift up a hand right now. I want us to pray. Father, we thank you for that powerful word today. We thank you for the anointing that's in this house. And Holy Ghost, we invite you into this place. Lord, break every yoke of bondage and every restriction. God, do what only you can do in the next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Praise God. David writes this psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. How many of you know today it's easy to bless the Lord when everything's going great? But sometimes things aren't going great. Amen. There are sometimes when things are going great in your life and you're getting the pay raise or the promotion, or she said yes when you asked her the question. Amen. Everything's going great. And it's in those moments that really anybody that has any relationship with God at all has the ability to praise the Lord, because when things go good, we want to give honor to God. But what about when things aren't going so well? Is God still God? Is he still on the throne? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? You have to understand something today. There's power when you press through your pain and become a person that carries the virtue of praise on your life. So it's not just something that you do on a Sunday morning in an 11 o'clock service, but it is a person that you are, and it's the person that you are in every aspect of your life. That means when you're driving down the road and you're stuck in traffic, come on somebody, and you just praise the Lord anyway. Amen. You just get that understanding in your life that I will be a praiser. David writes this psalm, and it's so powerful. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. We read that, and you know, you think about David and say, well, you know, David was the king. He didn't have any problems. Everything was cool. You know, he sat on the throne. He could tell people do this and do that. Everything was good. But you have to understand, when David wrote this, he was not yet king. In fact, when he wrote this, he was going through a very hard, difficult time in his life. You remember the story of David. He all of a sudden comes up out of nowhere as a young man, defeats the giant named Goliath. Remember the Philistine giant, the 9-foot giant. He kills him. And so as a result of that, King Saul, who was the king of Israel, invited David into his inner circle. That was a blessing in the beginning, but it became a curse in the end. The reason it became a curse was because Saul became jealous of David. People liked David better than Saul, and Saul didn't like that so much so that he sought to kill David. One time he picked up a sword and he threw it against the wall, trying to pin David against the wall. And David did what any smart man would do in that instance. He ran. The Bible says that he took off and he ran from Saul. And Saul appointed a special delegation of people who did nothing but hunt David. So David spent years of his life as a fugitive, running from one place to another, all over the wilderness, all over the place, as Saul sought to chase him down and to kill him. It got so bad, he was so pressed, that finally he said, you know what? I'm going to do something really smart, and I'm going to hide amongst my enemies. So the Bible says that David went and he hid in a little obscure area in the nation of Philistia, among the Philistines, and he hides in this little area and sort of goes undercover. And all was well until somebody recognized him. One of the men looked at David one day and they said, wait a minute, I remember you. I know who you are. I was at that battle that day. I remember you're the man who killed our giant. You killed Goliath. I remember that. All of a sudden, David finds himself shackled and they bring him before the king. The king's name was Abimelech. David did what any rational, normal person would do. David pretended to be insane. In fact, the Bible says that he absolutely pretended to be crazy. He started scratching and clawing at the walls. He allowed his spit to run down his face and drip down his beard. He starts speaking unintelligible words, and they bring him before the king, and they say, this is a guy that killed Goliath. And when the king looked at David, he said, there's no way this guy has ever killed anybody. He said, I don't need any more crazy people in my kingdom. I have plenty of those already. Get him out of here. David took off and ran from there. Now remember, David is already a fugitive from Israel. Now he's a fugitive from Israel's enemies. He's got nobody on his side. He's got nowhere to go. He's got nowhere to hide. The Bible says that David found refuge in a cave. The name of the cave was Adullam. It was in the mouth of this cave that David penned the words to this psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. It was in that setting and in that atmosphere, the atmosphere where nobody was with him and nobody was for him and nobody believed in him and nobody was rallying to his side. It was in that moment that he wrote these words, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. What makes it even a little, I'm going to take you a level deeper. What even makes it more interesting is when David is standing in the mouth of that cave called Adullam, as he looked out the geography of that location, as he looked out of that cave, he was over a valley. The name of the valley was Elah. Does anybody remember that word, Elah? That valley was the very valley years before that David had killed Goliath. And here he is now, after killing Goliath, years later, all of this cycle of life, here he is right back where he started. I will bless the Lord at all times. How many of you ever been in a place in your life where it seems like I can't believe that I'm here still? Have you ever been in places in your life where it seems like you're spinning your wheels and you're not getting anywhere, and the harder you work and the more that you do, it seems like I just can't get ahead? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt like, man, I would think by this stage in my life, I would be much better off than I am right now? It's that moment where you're standing in the cave of Adullah and you're coming into the reality that God has brought you right back where you started, but he did that for a purpose. You see, if you never have any pressure on your life, you'll never germinate to the fullest potential of your life. If you never go through anything, if you've never been through anything, if you've never walked through anything, you don't know the joy of God bringing you out of something. A seed cannot germinate until it feels the pressure of the soil. Once that pressure is applied to the seed, it germinates and it brings to fruit whatever it is potential that is within it. And it's sometimes the pressure of your life that God's walking you through because God's bringing something out of you. He loves you too much to leave you the way that you started. Come on, are you with me now? And in the natural, it looks like I'm not going anywhere. I'm just running in circles. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just sort of stuck in this place and I can't get past it. But what you have to understand is sometimes God will bring you right back where you started to get you to the end of yourself. And it's at the end of yourself that you can find the beginning of your faith. And it's in that moment that God can take you from that desperate heartache and bring you out and bring something out of you. I'm here to tell you today the power of praising God in the midst of your pain and what it can do for you. David's in this cave and he's all by himself and there's nobody there. I don't know exactly what it looked like, friends. I don't know. I just have to read scripture. I've got a very vivid imagination. And so I just have to assume it sort of went something like this, as David is all by himself in the cave and there's nobody there and he's running from everybody and he's supposed to be king. Remember, he's holding on to the promise. He's supposed to be the king in the future, but man, it really doesn't look like that's going to materialize. He's standing in that cave and he's looking out of that cave of darkness and emptiness and knowing that everybody wants him dead. I believe David probably began to pace the floor of that cave, the ground of that cave, began to pace back and forth and say, "Dear God, I don't know. You told me that I was going to be king. You told me that I was going to be somebody. I remember the prophet came to my house and he poured oil on my head. I remember that day, God, when you empowered me with a sling and you allowed me to kill the giant. God, I remember the day, Lord, when you helped me to overcome my enemies. I remember all those things. And Lord, here I am now." And all of a sudden, something clicked in David's mind, and he said, "Wait a minute. God has been faithful to me all my life. I remember sitting on the side of a mountain, and when bears would come against my sheep in the middle of the night, that the Spirit of God would come upon me and allow me to defeat them. God was with me then. If God was with me then, and if God was with me when I faced the giant, and if God was with me when I faced my enemies, then praise God, God is with me now." I'm trying to tell somebody something here today. I want you to get this inside of your spirit, that God has brought you through some things. And what has to happen is you have to begin to understand in your mind that there has to be a change in your perspective to realize that God has always been faithful to you. Has anybody here ever been brought out of something? Has God ever done anything for you? Has God ever shown himself faithful in your life? Sometimes you have to reflect on those moments and you have to say, "God, you've always been with me." Here's the thing. Let me just talk to you for a moment. I'm a pastor our church is crazy. I'm telling you, it's very multicultural church, and we have a very large group of people in our church that are ex-convicts and a lot of people that are bound and are being freed by the power of the enemy, and it's an area that's pretty rough, I'll be honest with you. And so, man, some of our worship gets crazy. I like it. I'm talking about buck wild, like crazy. And you say, "Well, you know, God is a God of order. I mean, you know, don't you put the kibosh on it. Don't you stop." No, I don't stop it. I encourage it. You know why? Because you don't know what somebody else has been through. You don't know what God has brought somebody else out of. Don't ever look down your nose at somebody else and say, "Man, they're acting crazy. They're acting out of their mind." That's not God. Who are we to judge that? I'm going to tell you, when God brings you out of hell, it causes you to walk on streets of gold. When God begins to work in you and breaks the addiction bondage off of your life, when he breaks the chains and the shackles of the enemy off of your life, when he brings you out of hell and brings you into the place that you're called, you're going to praise God. It's just who you are. Come on. Is any praisers in this house? Something clicked in David's mind in that cave, and he said, No. Devil's not going to tell me I'm not going to succeed. He's not going to tell me I'm going to be defeated. He's not going to tell me that I won't be king. I believe the promise of God. He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." When David said those words, David was talking to himself. Sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror and you got to say, I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that God is going to defeat everything that rises up against me. No weapon formed. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. No weapon formed against me will prosper. You've got to begin to talk to yourself. And David, I believe, in that moment was talking to himself. And he said, I will bless the Lord. But something began to happen. The Bible says as David was in that cave and he's all alone, nobody was with him, everybody was against him. All of a sudden, a group of people began to assemble outside the cave, a whole bunch of warriors. In fact, hundreds of warriors began to assemble outside that cave. And they said, David, we're with you. We're standing with you. We're on your side. The Bible says that they were people that were disenfranchised. They were bankrupt. Some of them were sick. Some of them were running from the law. They were fugitives. These are men that nobody would pick. You know, remember in high school, playing sports and pick teams, anybody ever get picked last? It's terrible. These men all would have been last. But see, God knew what David needed. David did not know what he needed. When you begin to open up the wellspring of praise out of your soul, it positions you to receive from the God whose ways are higher than our ways and whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, who has an understanding that we do not have. Because here's the deal. All those men that were bankrupt and destitute and broken and sick, they would be men that would be loyal to David all the way to the end. You know why? Because nobody else wanted them. So when they came to David and he accepted them, they said, we will follow you all the way to the death. He could not have paid for more valiant warriors. What opened the door to that? I will bless the Lord at all times. As he began to praise the name of the Lord, it attracted the work of God. It attracted the hand of God. It attracted those things that God was doing. I want you to realize today that you don't praise God. Your praise is not a reflection of where you are. It's a reflection of where you're going. You don't praise the Lord because you're sick. Lord, I thank you that I'm so sick I can't get out of bed. Thank you for making me sick. No. You praise God in the midst of your sickness because you know that he's the healer. So I thank God for God. I don't thank God for my sickness. But what happens when I begin to praise him, it opens up the window of opportunity of my faith to be activated so I can see God for who he is when I'm blinded by my own pain. Come on, are you with me? So you have to understand today that the enemy wants to stop your praise because he knows where it can take you. You know, when you're discouraged, you don't feel like praising the Lord. When you're hurting, you don't feel like praising God. I run into people all the time in our church. They drop off the face of the earth. I haven't seen them in 3 or 4 weeks. Pick up the phone. Hey, brother, I haven't seen you in a while. Where you been? Oh, man, the devil's attacking us. So you decided a good game plan would be to stay home and not go to church. Come on, think about it. It makes no sense. When you're hurting, that's when you need to praise. That's when you need to praise him the most. When you're struggling, that's when you really need to get a hold of the Lord. It's in those moments. David's standing here in this cave, and now he's got all these people that are gathered to him and all these people that are with him. God did for David what he could not do for himself. I want to walk you through this today because I want you to see something. You have to understand something today. A lot of people think that pastors don't go through pain. They think the pastors don't go through anything. Oh, you guys, you're leading churches. You know, listen, whoever said that is a liar. And if y'all believe that, you would all be lined up to be pastors. Amen? No, we go through stuff. A couple years ago, my wife went to a routine doctor's appointment, came back with devastating news, and that news was that she had stage 2 breast cancer. Out of the blue, no symptoms, no nothing, just all of a sudden, stage 2 breast cancer. Man, we walked through a dark time. I'm telling you this for the purpose of understanding the depth of this. We pastor a church, and I've got churches in the nation of Honduras that we oversee. We've got a full-time pastor in the nation of Honduras that we oversee, a network of churches. We've got a school on our campus. We have over 600 students that are part of our school, and a lot of responsibility and a lot of things. And in the middle of all of this cancer treatment, I was having to drive about an hour a day, one way, to go radiation treatment for 6 weeks, every single day for 6 weeks, chemotherapy. My wife, you saw her, beautiful woman, she lost her hair. We walked through all that. And while all that was going on, the church still needed a pastor. It still needed leadership. In that moment, I could have very easily had begun to complain. And I'll be honest with you, I did some. I'm just being honest. Come on now. I'm not, you know, I'm just being honest with you. God, here I am. What more can I do? Man, we're leading churches in another nation. We're leading our church. We're taking a city. God, why is this happening to us? But what I understood was that God was doing something in us. Let me just walk you through this. Let me just get real with you. Is that okay? This is what we did. A lot of times we like to hide behind all these, you know, great illustrative moments and make you think that, oh, wow, I could never do that. No, you can do this. I took little sticky notes, you know, the little yellow ones that they sell at Office Depot. These little notes, and never forget calling my kids into the bedroom and giving them the news. Your mama has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Kids stood around the bed right there where mama was, and she wasn't bedridden, but it just happened to be in the bed when this happened. And we laid our hands on my wife and their mama. We prayed the prayer of faith and healing over her body. Took those little sticky notes and began to write scriptures on them of healing. Began to make a declaration over her. See, the word holds authority when you don't hold it yourself. And the word has power when you're out of power. And the word has encouragement when you're discouraged. I wrote on those little sticky notes, I am the God that heals thee. We put it right by the alarm clock when she gets out of bed, first thing that she would see. Wrote on another one, by his stripes we are healed, and no weapon formed against me can prosper, and with God all things are possible. And we just put those all over the place. If you walked into our house and didn't know our story, you would think we were some kind of weirdos with yellow stickies all over the place. But we were making a declaration of faith in the word of God. We will not be defeated. Will not. See, here's the deal. Complaining will never move you to your next level, but it will guarantee that you stay on the current one. Look in the Old Testament, the cycle of Israel, constant complaining. God had to break that cycle to move them to their promise. They would get to their promise, they would start complaining, right? God would break that cycle to move them to their promise. Once again, they would complain over and over. There is no blessing that comes from complaining, but there is a blessing that comes from praising. I'm trying to help you redirect your thoughts and your actions today to not be people that complain about your situation, but praise God. God in the middle of it. Sticky notes were all over our house, and our church was great, man. They did so much for us. They were bringing food to us, so much food we had to tell them to stop. It was crazy, and man, just such support for us. But it was tough. It was so, I'm really just laying on the line here. Man, it was so tough that when we got through it all, I went to my board and I said, listen, here's the deal. We're wore out. We can't keep doing this. We're fried. So here's the deal. I'm taking off 8 weeks. I'm not asking, I'm telling. If you don't want to do that, you can look for resumes and find another pastor. I'm just telling you, I have to do this. They were very agreeable and supportive. I would have never done that. But I'm just telling you the amount of stress that was on our life. But God. Come on, somebody. But God. But God. In the middle of that moment, we understood the grace of God, and we made that declaration, I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalms 34:1. Friends, that was one of those little sticky notes that were in our house that anybody could see if they walked in. I will bless the Lord. I'm here to tell you today, we've been over 2 years now, and my sweetheart is cancer-free. Come on, somebody. He's faithful. He's faithful. Book of 2 Corinthians says this in chapter 5, verse number 7. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. The reason I wrote this story, the reason I wrote this book was to encourage people to have faith in the Almighty. I want you to know something, friends. He's still the miracle worker. He still loves people. He's still saving people. And he's still changing people. Whenever you begin to magnify the name of the Lord, it releases something into your life. Because here's the deal. David standing in that cave, there was absolutely no way he could have worked out to assemble a group of warriors himself. But his praise made a way. You have to understand that in your praise, God is working behind the scenes of your life, and he's orchestrating details, and he's putting things together that you can't see. And in the natural, you won't understand it. In the natural, when David looked out, he saw an empty cave. He saw a valley that was a reminder, like a skeleton in a closet, of a victory that was long past. But what he did not know was that in his praise, God was assembling troops to come behind him and to stand with him. When you begin to praise the name of the Lord, God begins to work on your behalf. I want to walk you through something very quickly today. I want to teach you this morning, how to praise God on credit. You say, well, what is that? If you walked into a car dealership right now, it's possible to walk into a car dealership, get the keys to a vehicle, drive off the lot, and drive down the road in a car that you did not pay for, right? You can do that. How do you do that? You do that based on credit. What happens? You go in and you talk to the finance manager, and he looks at your income versus debt ratio. He looks at your credit worthiness. It's tied to your name. They look up your name, your social security number, and all your information. They check your credit to see if you've been late before, delinquent, or missed. But tied to your name, they establish a score that determines whether or not they feel as if you are credit worthy enough to drive off in that vehicle without having paid for it. You drive off in that vehicle, you haven't paid a penny for it, because they know that in the future you are going to pay for it because of the reputation of your name. Come on, are you with me now? Is anybody getting this? So when you praise God on credit, it means, Lord, I stand in the authority and in the power of your name. And Lord, you've proven yourself to me in the past, and you've shown yourself faithful and strong in my life over the past history of my life. And you've walked me through things, and I've seen you do it for others. And Lord, so based on the power of your name and based on the authority of your word, God, I'm going to bless you in this moment, even though I'm hurting, even though I'm broke, even though my marriage is a mess, even though my kids aren't serving the Lord, even though things are fractured in my life, I'm going to praise you because the power of your name declares that even though I don't have the resource now, it's on the way because of the power in his name. There is no name higher than the name of Jesus. There's no authority that's higher than the name of Jesus. There's no power that's greater in the name of Jesus. And when you call upon the name of the Lord and you say, I will bless the Lord, and you praise him in your pain, and you praise him in your valley, and you praise him in your storm, God begins to work in the supernatural arena to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Oh, he's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. But you praise him on credit. I want to ask you to do something with me this morning. Can I get you to stand with me? I'm going to ask our prayer team to come to the front right now and get positioned. And I in just a moment, we're going to come together and we're going to pray. And here's the deal. We've seen God move here last night, Saturday night, church. We've seen God move this morning in the 9 o'clock service. And I'm going to tell you, friends, we're about to see God move again right now in the 11 o'clock. I want to just ask a very simple question here today. How many of you be really honest? Just say, I need a miracle from God. Let me just see your hand. Just be honest. I mean, nothing less than a miracle. I need it. Come on, raise it. Don't be afraid. I've been there, friends. I have been there. I need a miracle. Nothing less will do. I need a miracle. I want to walk you through something this morning. And again, this is probably different than what normally you would do, but I didn't come here to do everything the same as what you normally do. If that was the case, it would be pointless. But I'm going to ask you to do something. Pastor Mark is going to begin to lead us. And as he does, you're here this morning. You need a miracle. You raise your hand. We're going to make room for you. I want you to slip out of your seat and walk. I'm not going to keep you all day. I promise. We're going to pray together collectively. But I believe there's power in this. when you sort of separate from where you are and you take a step of faith and say, God, I'm going to praise the name of the Lord. I believe right now that you are Almighty God. I believe it. People are already coming. Come on, as we begin to sing, I want you to slip out. Come on, I want you to come. Come all the way to the front. Slide all the way to the front right here. Help us out. Come on, I want you to come if that's you. I need a miracle. Come on, if you really need it, come on, I want you to come. We're going to pray together today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Mighty God.
Never gonna let me down.
Yes, Jesus.
You're never gonna let me.
Hallelujah.
Never gonna let me down.
Would you help us make room right here? Just come on, just move to the front. Come on, just come on, slide up. We got a lot. We just want to make room. Come on, just move real close. Thank you. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Miracles today. We believe for miracles today. We believe for miracles today. Come on, come on. Yes, come on right here. Come on. Yes, come on, come on. Yes, Jesus. Come on, would you lift a hand and sing this? Come on. Come on, he's faithful. Come on. My Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Come on, sing it now. Mighty God. All right, now listen to me. This is really important. I want you to listen. If you're down here, please listen to me for just a moment. The majority of our time that we pray, we are transmitting the information of our need to God. In other words, we're telling God about our problem. Can I let you in on a little secret? He already knows what you're going through. So it's not necessary to inform him, but it is necessary to speak by faith. Watch me now. When I read in the book of Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth with his word. God said, "Let there be light." The universe has to respond to the word of God. Is everybody with me today? So here's the deal. I'm teaching you how to praise on credit. So I want you to do something a little different. We're accustomed to saying, "Lord, you know, I've got a problem with my knee. And Lord, I need you to help me with my knee. I've got to go to work tomorrow and my knee hurts." I want to transition that today, because God already knows you have a problem with your knee. So what I want you to do today is get in the mindset of speaking by faith what you believe that God is capable of doing in your situation right now, so you're praising him on credit. Come on. So it's not, "God, can you please heal me?" Can I just help you understand that you are sons and daughters of the King? You don't have to beg. You're already in favor with God. So today, instead of, "Lord, please help me with my knee," I want you to begin to bless the Lord and say, "God, I thank you that my knee is healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that tomorrow I'm going to go to work. I thank you I'll be able to walk up and down the stairs. I thank you, God, that you're the healer. I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. I thank you that you are the great physician. I thank you that there's nothing impossible with God." Is somebody in this house? When you begin to bless him and you begin to magnify him, it connects your spirit by faith with who he is, and it unleashes the impossible in your life. Hallelujah. Listen, lift up both hands. Come on, all across the building. Come on, lift up both hands right now. Somebody's about to get it. Somebody's about to receive it. Come on, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up. Right now, I want you just to say, "Thank you, Lord." Come on, tell him, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you today, Father, right now, for those that have heart conditions. They're healed in Jesus' name. I thank you today, Lord. Cancer is drying up in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, today that your anointing is flowing in this house. We give you praise, God, that you're the healer. We give you praise, God, that you're the deliverer. We give you praise, mighty God, that you are the restorer. And God, today we choose in this moment to bless the name of Jesus, to magnify the name of the Lord, to exalt the name of Jesus. God, today we make a declaration of faith in this house, God. We believe you at your word. We believe you at what you have spoken. We believe, God, what you have declared. We will not allow the devil to steal. We will not allow him to destroy. We will not allow him to keep our mouths shut. But God, today we declare your praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, sing this now. Come on, talk to him. Yes. He's so faithful. Listen, Church of Hope, I want somebody to give the Lord a big shout in this house. Come on, praise him. Yes, Jesus. Now, before we close, Pastor Peter is on the way, and here's the deal. I made a commitment to the Lord years ago. I never preached the gospel, never, without giving people an opportunity to accept the Lord. You might be here in this place this morning and you've never accepted the Lord, or maybe you're in a place where you've drifted from the Lord today. Maybe you're backslidden. You know, that means that you've sort of digressed in your walk with God. I want you to know something today. There's a God that loves you unconditionally. Here's the deal. He loves you the same amount that he loves me. And nothing can stop that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So powerful. And here's what I'm going to do this morning. I don't believe in hyping things up and getting all crazy for altar times or salvation. I just want to be really honest with you. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I need to make it right with Jesus. I'm going to count to the number three. When I get to three, I want you loud and proud. Nobody's eyes closed, nobody's head bowed. Real. This is how we do church. Real. When I get to the number three, if you need to make it right with Jesus, loud and proud. Boom. Hands up when I get to three, if that's you. He's going to meet you today right here. Here you go. You ready? You need to make it right. Hands up. One, two, three, go. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. And the Bible says, out of your mouth, confession is made known to God. That means I can't get you to heaven. Pastor Peter, Pastor Scott, we can't get you to heaven. It's the grace of God extended to us by the power of the cross that gets us to heaven. Our prayer is a vehicle of communication. So today when I pray, I want you to repeat after me as I lead you. But know this, as you pray today, it needs to come from you, not from me. It comes from you as you talk to the Lord. I just need you to lift up both hands. Come on, surrender to Jesus. Everybody, come on. Out loud, I want you to pray this with me. Everybody, if you would, just say this. Jesus, come on, I want you to say it like you mean it now. Jesus, I admit that I have sinned, but I believe that Jesus died for me. Today, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Tell him right now, thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody praise the Lord in this house. Come on, like you mean it. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Peter's coming. We're going to walk out to the foyer, my team and I, and we'd love to meet you and talk with you. Come by and see us. God bless you. Thank you for having us today.
Hey, let your appreciation to Pastor Jamie. Hallelujah. That's a good word. Good word. Now, at Hope, we tend to do a few things every week. We tend to love one another, fellowship with one another. We celebrate communion with one another. and we have prayer. So today we're actually going to give you bonus material. We're going to sugar you up with Sundays in the lobby. It's Sundays on Sunday. So we're going to take just a few minutes as the worship team leads us. If you want to have communion, you want to spend some time at the altar in prayer, we're going to open that up. And then if you're a guest, thank you so much for being here. Stop by the VIP room. We have some gifts for you. Any questions we can answer? We'll see y'all soon. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blessing in this house on this day where you have connected hearts with heaven. I pray your blessing as we now continue in your presence to worship, to commune with you. I pray your blessing on the elements and on our prayer time and on our fellowship. I pray, Lord Jesus, for those that rededicated their life, that they would sign up at the baptism table, and we'll have a great time on August the 12th at the beach baptism. Lord, help us always to encourage one another's hearts. In the glorious name of Jesus, amen. Come for communion. Come for worship. See you in the lobby. Don't forget to see Pastor Jamie, too. Let's worship him.